Log Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, everyone. This is your host, Brother Baba Witafa, right here in Oklahoma City. We're on People Power Radio, the radio that is your radio show. It is where your thoughts, your ideas, your opinions all count. There are no big I's and little U's. There's no one greater than the other. In this show, everybody has a point, and everybody's voices will be heard, no matter how tall, short, wide, or opinionated you may be. It's all about you tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about Child Protective Services stealing our kids from their families and selling them to other people. This is going to be our third such show that we've had on the radio show, and we're definitely going to be doing more in relation to that, as well as definitely we want to talk about, before the night is over with, very important information relating to the unlawful deadly shooting of Shed Ewing up in Norman, Oklahoma on April 9th, 2022. So definitely, y'all, we got a lot to cover tonight, but we definitely want to first start off with the CPS situation and the families that are disrupting. By the way, we're going to have a couple of families on it tonight who have already experienced this traumatic situation where their small children were snatched from them, regardless of how bad a situation may be, regardless of how light the situation may be. The Department of Human Services, through their Child Development Protective Services, is nothing but a bunch of hoodlums, band vigilantes that are designed to go out and disrupt families, to confuse families, to take children from their home, to cause any and everything in relationship to their family and relationship to their child. They'll go out without even truthfully and doing a worthwhile examination of the family they put these kids with. First of all, they put them with foster parents. Then they put them with adoption agencies. Now, let me tell everybody before we get started real good, before you can put a child even in a foster care, you have to do some real tough examinations of that person's home or background, maybe a rape or child molest or whatever the case is. But here in Oklahoma, in the United States of Oklahoma, they seem to just say, okay, to hell with all of this. We're just going to put these kids in anyway, because listen carefully, y'all. This is a big old money racket and trafficking in kids like you would drugs, dope, and stuff of that nature. You heard me. Money laundering, this would be equal to all of that. Again, we have a couple of show people on the show tonight who had some very experiences with that. Tamerson, how you doing? Let's holler at you first. How you doing out there?
I'm all right. I mean, I could be better. I have my children in my care.
We're talking about what you've gone through to even get them back is what we're talking about.
I know. But I'm still under supervision. We're still under supervision, which we shouldn't
Hello?
Be.
Hello?
Wait, what?
So talk to me. You said you're under supervision. So tell me what got the ball rolling in the people meddling your affairs in the first place?
Well, this was the second unlawful taking of our children, but I'll focus more on that. Yeah, on the second one, which is January 10th, 2020. They had no warrant. To heavily stress that they had no warrant. They had a writ of assistance and an emergency court order based on a perjured sworn affidavit, which I have evidence to prove that is the case. They got in our door. I didn't hand the kids over. I was arrested and beaten up by the sheriff's department.
What did they jump on you for? What do you mean?
Because I was running towards, because I knew our kids were fine, and I ran toward a closet. I was trying to get them away from the chaos, the boys.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to get them away from the chaos, and I got toward the closet. I mean, I got them toward the closet. We were going toward the closet, and two deputies grabbed me and cuffed me and beat me up in front of both the boys.
Wow.
And they took me to jail for 3 nights until my husband bonded me out. I'm still facing 4 misdemeanor charges. And we didn't do anything wrong. I mean, we have evidence that our boys were healthy that night. We got the evidence, and they used fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine. I mean, they just came up with something else that's not even illegal, actually. I mean, we didn't treat our son a certain way. I mean, he has neurological damage from the first time that they took him. And because we don't treat it a certain way.
Every time you say something, you get me interested. What you mean he had neurological damage? He didn't have it before he left you?
He didn't have it. He was fine before they took him the first time. Yeah, he was fine. And then I can actually prove that the only reason in 2016 they took our kids is because we're anti-vaccine. It's on a petition, and there's some other evidence pointing to that, too. Sorry?
So you saying, Nicole, thank you for being patient. I'm glad she definitely got a story herself as well, a couple, two others on here. But, now, wait a minute. Chamberson, you saying that your child, now, how old was your child? I mean, does he have some developmental capacities because of what they did to him, or what? How's that work?
Yeah, I mean, they forced vaccinated him. I'll put it out there. They forced vaccinated him. We know what they did. And then he started regressing. Once we got him back in 2016, got him back, we got the boys back, and then he started regressing eventually, and we know what they did. They had taken them on thought crime. Thank you.
As you know, as I promised y'all, like I said, Michael, don't just kick it. We're going to come down that way. We're going to find out what them people did. And you better believe while I leave them, they're going to know that it. I'll tell you what. When they see hear about me coming into town, they go, oh, Lord, here he come. Because I'm in business when I go down. You hear me? Wherever I go. All I do is charge that person to be with me and be 100% of what we are doing so we can be effective and draw others in. That's all I require. Okay. Now, how's your son doing, by the way, now?
Well, he's 7 years old. He doesn't talk. He used to sing and dance and everything, and he doesn't talk. He tries to talk, but, he doesn't talk. He can't go to the bathroom on his own, really. I mean, we have to go to the bathroom with him.
I got you.
I mean, it's that kind of thing. He's 7 years old.
It's that bad. I'm so sorry for y'all to hear that. I tell you what, I'm just livid with this amount of disrespect and this. You know what? When they took that child and gave him that vaccine, let me tell y'all something, man. Listen, everybody, carefully. That vaccine is not for everybody. And watch this here. There are some amounts of them, as in your case, Tamsin, it is laced with that particular drug that's going to affect you negatively because they need a certain percentage of people to die off, become mentally ill, or whatever the case is, to justify not everybody dying at once, but maybe one to die this year, four in 2000, in other words, 5 years later, other 10 years, trust me, no vaccine is totally complete with just it being perfect, above water, okay? So let's understand that.
Okay.
So your kids are back in your care.
Right now, and hopefully the same. But, it's a monitored return, and it shouldn't be monitored because we never did anything wrong. They have no evidence that our children, since the day they were born, were ever in harm's way in our presence. We have 100% evidence that they have committed fraud.
Well,
I just wanted to put that out there.
I'm coming down that way, and the hearing is on when? The
8th? There's a hearing on the 8th and on the 9th. Yeah, there's one on the 8th and there's one on the 9th. One's criminal, the other is family court.
Now.
Yeah, I can get more specific a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me say this here, then we're going to let Nicole in, because we're definitely going to come back to you. And, of course, Vivian, she's on the line. Thank y'all for being patient. Let me say this here. Now, let me make sure I got this straight. When the police were not, who called on your kids? I mean, somebody had been nosy in the neighborhood or something?
It had been a neighbor. This time around, it had been a neighbor because I see our boys are healthy. They're just small for their age. It's genetic. And so we get a lot of slack for that. Yeah. Yeah. And so we get accused, we get falsely accused of starving and or underfeeding them. So she called on us, and then DHS is at our home with the Tulsa Police Department. Tulsa Police Department is on video losing their qualified immunity, and they transferred this over to the Sheriff's Department, who are order followers and oath breakers. They don't look at anything. So they showed up hours later with their writ of assistance and basically chased me toward the closet. I mean, because I was going toward the closet, like I said, and they grabbed me and beat me up and took me to jail, and I'm still facing charges, and I shouldn't be.
You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to investigate this furthermore, and probably more than likely 9 times out of 10, the trial that you're going to is probably a preliminary hearing, And once that, you don't have to worry. I don't think you have to worry about going beyond that, because, like I said, once I get on there and file the motions and things that your attorney's supposed to be doing and is not, there's no question that they're not. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he's part of the system down there that judicially, watch this one. Now, judicially not only want you in jail, but they want to get your children back into custody, in CPS custody, so they can pawn them off to a family who's looking for children maybe 7 or 8 years old. It doesn't make a fact that a lot of them don't care that the child has a mental illness. The point of the matter, listen carefully, Tamison, it's about M-O-N-E-Y, okay, because every child they bring in, it starts from 5,000 up, all right? I want you to understand that. They order that to get the food stamp, to get medical benefits. You understand what I'm saying? And that person themselves who adopts gets $10,000 to $15,000 a year themselves for adopting these kids. And what does that translate into? It translates into the CPS, the Child Protective Services, getting theirs too, because they get grants to put children in foster care of the nature like that. Don't go away. We're going to talk to you. Don't go away. Nicole, tell me a little bit of saying that. Nicole got a situation too. Now, watch this. Now, I'm going to let her start this off. I don't want to interfere with it like this here, because I want to not. Oh, man, y'all not going to believe this one either. Now, come on. Wow. Nicole, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, you know me. I'm always busy and ready to get the ball rolling, you know. And thank you for tuning in, as you always do. I mean, you've been a blessing and wonder to us. So tell me a little bit about your CPS thing. What's going on with that? Listen to this, Tamson. Y'all both got similar stories.
I'm here. Well, I had a situation. This has been years ago, but in between marriages, I had a situation with CPS where I was the victim of domestic violence. And it was the first time that this man had ever hit me. And immediately whenever he hit me, I did what I was supposed to do and contacted law enforcement. He was arrested. The children were asleep. It happened at approximately 2 o'clock in the morning in our bedroom. When law enforcement arrived, they told me because children were in the home by law, they had to contact Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services showed up a few days later with me at the house with the younger kids, and then actually had my older kids already confined at their school without my knowledge. Yes.
Wow.
And they said that they were taking them into custody. And I asked the reason why, and they said failure to protect. And I said, how did I fail to protect them? And they said, well, they witnessed domestic violence because you're in a domestic violence situation. And I told them, yes, but I did, you know, what I was supposed to do. What else do you want me to do? You know, they said, well, his address is still, even though he's in jail, this is still listed as his home address. And I told them, well, we're just boyfriend and girlfriend, and he's not on my lease. This is my home. And they said, as long as that was listed or he listed that as his address, the children would not be returned to me, despite him living there or not living there, like physically being there. So they were trying to take the kids from my custody and put together something that they call a safety plan, which means they're not really from my custody, but they're placed in a home with other people temporarily while they investigate. During this time frame, it was just a few days, when they showed up to the house to take my kids from me, my mother, I called her, and she rushed immediately from UConn to Chickasha with papers, custody papers from her attorney for me to sign over custody, emergency custody to her. And the Child Protective Services worker actually lied to us and told us that it was illegal and that my mother would be arrested for kidnapping if we were to do that. At that time, we didn't know, and we couldn't get back in touch with her attorney, and we didn't know the law, and we were scared. But that's actually not the law, because a judge had never removed them from my custody. And me being the custodial parent, I can transfer custody to my mother any time that I want to. So it was just this huge ordeal and mess. As soon as they found out, though, that we could afford an attorney, it was unfortunate that they probably did this to several families, but they thought that they were preying on me as a single mother that was poor, that had multiple children, that they would make a lot of money off of really quick. But when they realized that I had family support and backing financially in order to get an attorney, all of a sudden they just poofed and disappeared. We never heard anything from them. They never gave us like a closing report or whatever they're supposed to give.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, if you call down there now, they'll tell you that there's nothing on record.
Really?
Yep.
What I'm about, they have to make a record, so if there's an ensuing incident, it is a record to
yes,
refer
sir.
To. You mean they wiped all the data out of the computers and things of this nature?
It means that that shows you that they knew they had absolutely nothing but bullshit.
Yeah. Now,
how do you protect your children from a victim of domestic violence? They didn't offer me, they didn't say, see, a lot of women, I was actually in a better situation than a lot of women that are victims because it was actually my home. But a lot of women, they're, sometimes they don't work, their husband works. And if he's abusing them and if he is the financial powerhouse in the home, they don't have a way to out. And for DHS to take children out of that situation is horrible. You need to offer help for the victim in the situation to remove, you know, to get everybody out of the house safely.
Uh-huh. But now, how old, Nicole? You said your kids were asleep when this happened, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but what I'm trying to get at, you did everything that you were supposed to do, and yet the victim gets penalized for doing what she's supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I'm looking at this situation, and I
you
am
know what
trying
they did to
be
proud. I got to tell you, when we went to court, they had pulled a file on one of my younger children. They pulled a file out on their father.
Yeah.
And their father has a lengthy prison record, and they pulled that out. Him and I had never been, like, together, lived together, but they pulled this huge criminal file of his out, like that gave them jurisdiction to my children and, like,
Well, let me tell you something, Nicole and others. And, Tamsin, we're going to get back to you. Like I said, I want to crisscross back to you too, because a couple of people got on today, got similar stories. They told me they'd be right back, having trouble getting on, but we're going to keep it going between us until they get back. They know they still can hear us, but they just can't get in, so they still can hear us. But let me say this here, y'all. We need to start an advocacy group, which Oklahoma Coalition is already into this, to deal with personal family members such as yourself. Now, Nicole, yours is in the past because, like I said, you've been in good standing with your kids. But like Tamsin, they're going to need support groups backing them. And even regardless if you can't get to the courthouses, maybe we can write letters and petitions in their behalf, because you cannot discriminate against a woman. Now, watch this here. In your case, Tamsin, you were called on by the police, and you knew in your heart, like any mother would do who loves her children, their mother instinct kicks in. So, therefore, you're going to try to run into the closet, and you're going to corral your kids. In other words, y'all going to have to take my baby. I'm not going to give you nothing. You understand me? And I admire you for that. You remember that.
Thank you.
Now, yes, you better believe I do. And it irritates me, you know, to where they jump in there and take the word of someone, and instead of saying, ma'am, we heard this, that they came in with the intent to take them instead of investigating. You see what I'm getting at? This has to stop.
Well, something else that they don't do in these cases.
Go ahead. Talk to
like,
me. Come on.
If you see family court cases where there's a divorce proceeding, there's generally a guardian ad litem, which is like a voice for the children. But in these CPS cases, they don't involve a guardian ad litem, which is weird to me. There should be an advocacy person for the child to speak the child's opinion and what the child wants and what the child thinks. And there's not in these situations. And I think that's a huge problem, and I think that if we are to form a group, that should be part of it, is, you know, what do the kids want?
Hey, I agree with you, Nicole. Hey, just like I told you, you are absolutely right. Now, what we need to do, and actually, I have a brother that's coming on, I think he's on right now. He'll be on in a minute. We also, watch this one, we're also establishing, you and I, we're getting ready together, getting to put the paperwork together, fathers against CPS, because he's a father caring for his four kids like the young man you introduced us to, Nicole. His children were taken from him because, sad to say, the unfitness of the child's mother, right? And they're just saying, okay, sir, we're taking them from you with no hearing, no nothing else. But, again, he called Michael Washington, and we got that situation basically straight down almost. He goes to court on the 9th. Okay? And this is not a final hearing, but this is determined for jury trial. Well, let me tell y'all something. I don't think it's going to a jury trial because, oh, man, the paperwork I put together for him, no one should have be discriminated against y'all. It is a money racket. They're trafficking in these kids. And when you're trafficking in these kids, you are nothing but thinking about money, greedy, hungry, wealthy people who want children because a lot of them can't have children. I understand this here. But don't go in and break it. If a person want to give their children up, which you and I don't support, that's different. But don't go in and break a family up who's lovely because the child maybe got his behind whooped. Now I can see if somebody can get upside the head. Yes, I can see the first one help you take them. But I'm saying,
if
I mean, a belt on some
matter.
Man, I got so many damn whoopers that'll scare you to death. It didn't turn me out bad.
It's not just because they want kids either, though, Michael. It's not just because they want kids. I hate to say it, but I also believe that this is greatly contributing to child sex trafficking. Because
yeah,
if you're a pedophile and you have money, if you're a pedophile with money, then you can, like you and I were talking about with Maya on the phone last week, you can basically choose your design preference as a pedophile. I want a blonde hair, blue-eyed, 6-year-old,
yes.
But you know what I'm saying? And I think that it's contributing to child sex trafficking as well.
Yeah,
I am currently leaving the hospital. I just had a stroke today due to me being worried about my kids.
Yeah, that's another thing someone help you out. Hey, talk to us about this.
Well, my case is so illegal. I didn't have no police when they came and picked up my kids.
Wow.
I actually ran with, I don't know. They just called me, told me that, well, first, my oldest girls had ran off, and the lady had got, it was a DHS woman that was involved, Karen Woods. And when I had texted her and asked her, I told her that my kids had ran off, she didn't ever tell me that she came in contact with my kids or nothing. I just got a text message that night saying that I had a safety meeting the next morning, and it was concerning all of my children. She never told me she came in contact with them.
Y'all get serious. You saying that people came to your house without the police, right?
Yes, without. Yes.
They have no authority to do that.
No. Well, first it started off because my child's grandmother and a DHS worker called me at 10:30 at night, and she presents herself as a worker for DHS, and that my child's grandmother, who I gave custody of her, didn't want her anymore, and she wanted to give her back, and that they would be here they would be in my house by 11:15 with all her stuff. And she dropped my daughter off that night. Now, from her understanding, me just telling her, you know, she understood that me and my daughter had some, you know, we don't see eye to eye sometimes, and it's got a lot to do with her.
Of course, that don't mean it's never bothered you, though. I understand that. Yeah, that's between us. You don't need a damn outside people bothering us.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Me and my daughter had got into an argument one night, and I know her and my second oldest daughter took off, and I told the DHS worker, I texted her, and I said, hey, the girls have walked off, just letting you know, I'm going to call and make a police report. And even when I called to make the police report, the police did not show up. My cousin called them, I called them. The police never showed up.
I'm not surprised.
And like I said, the woman, she never called me or nothing. I didn't actually find my kids till 2:00 in the morning, where I had to go find another little girl, and the little girl told me where my kids was, and they was 2 houses down from me. And so I say, well, you know, I go over there, and I'm like, well, what is y'all doing? And my oldest daughter is like, well, the worker told us to stay here until she come and get us. And like I said, I had already got the text message about a safety meeting concerning all my children, but I did not know of what was going on until I got into the meeting. So I got into the meeting the next day at 11, and she told me that my daughter had sent her a picture of a mess pipe. And when I asked her why come she came in contact with my kids but didn't tell me, and that I was worried, I was looking for them, and I actually have all this on record. My sister was just lucky enough to be recording the safety meeting. And she says, well, the police tells us that they were better off where they were at because you threatened
the hell, police? How the hell they going to just look at something on the surface and make that conclusion?
Yes, and she never met the woman. She never went in the woman's house. She never did a background check on the woman. She didn't even know that the woman had a man staying in the house with her in the bedroom.
Wow.
So my kids seen these people taking naked pictures of their bodies.
Oh,
my God. The woman
I was just saying that before you got on.
Huh?
I was just saying that before you got on, that they don't even do an evaluation or examination of people, houses, or nothing.
Yes.
Kids.
And now it says nobody can get my kids in my family, but yet they left my kids down here with some strangers and don't know what was going on in this household.
I got you.
And so
I
immediately adopted a plan. I started doing my UAs. I started doing my classes, and now that I have adopted their plan.
I said it told you to do. Don't forget that. Yeah. That's all I can really help you if you do. Like I said, follow the ropes, and then they don't have no argument. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but their plan, they don't even know nothing to do with their plan. Like, I was supposed to go do a UA today, and I think this is what triggered my stroke, because I'm sitting here thinking, how am I to take my UAs, but then DHS haven't sent the pay for my UAs. They don't want me taking UAs where I've been taking them. I can't do nothing where I've been taking it before, but now it's in DHS's hands. Everything is off 4 to 6 weeks, and I go to court on Wednesday. I mean, not on Wednesday, but I go to court on the 15th of this month for a hearing.
Okay, 15th.
And
hold on,
DHS, 15th. Yes, on the 15th.
I got you.
And as far as we go with DHS, nothing has been done.
Let me tell you something, young lady. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. Nothing is going to be done. Listen carefully. Nothing is going to be done that favors you because, once again, when people come and remove people's kids out of their homes and stuff, place them with people that haven't even investigated anything, the whole purpose of that, like Nicole said before you got on, it's called sex trafficking. When they do get little kids and I don't even like think about this. And then we're going to get Mayotte on. Yes, she's used our call. She came on just a little bit later tonight. But let me tell y'all something. Sex trafficking kids, y'all, is big money. Don't y'all know how many children go missing? Hundreds of thousands, I'm talking about a day. Y'all, I'm talking about still missing today, 200,000. Still have been accounted for. You want to know why? Because they take these kids, they put them in trunks, in boxes and things like that, literally like that, and ship them overseas like they're furniture or something. Yeah. And they don't like Taiwan and places like that, and you never see them anymore. So
yeah,
I understand you mothers
concerned
when your children are taken from you. Okay? Just like you told me, Nicole, when you defended your child, and Tamsin, when you defended your children, they gave your son that mental disease that he got because you said yourself, I know you're not lying to me. You ain't got no reason to lie to me. You said that the child was all right, and then they got back custody. All of a sudden, he got a mental illness now. I know what the hell happened.
I'm talking about 2016, they force vaccinated him, and then we got him back, and he started regressing, and they don't like the way that we were treating it. So they use that as an excuse, even when they took them again in 2020, they use that as an excuse to keep both our boys away from us.
Yeah. Okay, now hold on. Hold that point. I got to get May out of here. She's our co-host. She be out on that college now. She got them college shows. She's sometime going to come in late. That's why we didn't introduce her starting off. But let's let her get her parts in, and then we'll continue on. But yeah, go ahead now. How was your day today? How's school go? What's going on?
Ashe, I am so glad to be on. You know, I'd be moving around and shaking around all the time. It's a touchy subject because, you know, I'm at that midpoint in life where I'm looking at the generation. And this is what they're,
you're breaking up back there. I can't hardly hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, nah, I can.
Yeah, it's a touchy subject for me because, you know, I have younger siblings and I'm also at that midpoint where I'm looking at the generation underneath us and watching this stuff happen, you know, it's a huge problem, you know what I mean? And for me, I look at it as modern-day slavery, too, because I remember Nicole saying, you know, how black children were adopted, you know, by the mother, the story that she shared. And that's absolutely true because I've ran into adults, you know, that were in that same situation and now tell their story about how it is to be adopted.
Yes.
You know, by a family that truly does not care. You know, once they turn 18, they just kind of say, you know, I don't get anything from you. You know what I'm saying? Go on. You know what I'm saying? About your business. So, and I feel like it's a modern-day slavery thing, too, at that, because they have these kids in their home, and they make them do whatever that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We would like to think that they are there, and they are nurtured, and they are cared for like they tried to, you know, perceive it to be when it's not that. You know what I'm saying? It's another check for them. It's another check for the state. You know what I'm saying? It's free labor for some of these people. You know what I mean? And they abuse them. They abuse them. I know too many adults that are dealing with mental illness behind that. You know what I'm saying? Behind the abuse that they have to suffer under the hands of these foster parents.
Ma'am.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, that causes depression, PTSD, a lot of stressful things, schizophrenia. You know what I'm saying? They go through
absolutely.
A lot. You know what I mean? And they don't check worth the crap. You know, because it's a check for them. You know what I'm saying? It's a dollar sign. And the sad reality about it is some of them get sexually abused. And they have
no question. Come on.
They really say nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to vocalize it because they feel like nobody's there. They've been ripped from their families. They've been ripped from everything that they know. And now they're put in this strange environment with these strange people that they're told that are safe. But they're showing something completely different. And they're not going to change that crap. You know what I'm saying? They're going to continue to try to make dollars. But like I said, salute to all the parents that are fighting for their kids, that are saying that this is not the end. You know what I mean? That are doing the steps necessary to pull their kids back because they're going to do them worse than the world is going to do them. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the care groups that they're in. They still do that. They neglect them. That is another check, another form of slavery, sex trafficking, abuse. They don't get loved by the people that they get adopted to, and that's a good chunk of them. And it's a blessing if they do land in a home that's actually going to work with the parents, that's going to actually communicate with them and keep that connection between the families because some of them actually do want them back. You know what I'm saying?
Question. Yeah, they just made a mistake, man, in a lot of cases. You know, that's why you have parenting classes and stuff like that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Move on. You know?
Oh, no, that's all I was going to say about that.
Hey,
you know
yeah, but let me tell you. You're definitely on point. Now, listen to this carefully, y'all. Did y'all know that the government has a program, listen carefully, where they allow women to get pregnant so they can have already families sitting in line to drop their kids off to?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. I'm serious, y'all. Y'all think I lost my mind. That happened. They have people, women, to come in, have a baby for Johnny or Susie down the road. And they pay them to have a baby for them, and the baby goes to the adopted parents, who in turn, watch this one. Listen carefully, y'all. They make a good financial gain for housing, education, relocation, medical expenses. The same thing would be going if this child was with its natural biological family. But in a lot of cases, the father, who God bless his soul, just couldn't get along with his wife. I mean, they got relationships like that. And vice versa, why should we, Nicole, have to accept is either this or that or else. How come it can't just be you and me with our family, seeing each other, having the kids ready, without some damn sticking mm-hmm. interference government? What goes on there?
Yep. You know, I'm all for the government staying out of our business, so.
I'm telling you.
You know, I don't believe in forcing things one way or another, and I never have. I think that they're overstepping their boundaries, first of all, as far as government.
Yes.
Like Matt said, this is more like slavery. Do we really, so do our children belong to, not even belong, because they're their own people, but they come from
yes.
us. So,
mm-hmm.
and as a mother that knows the ins and outs of pain, the pain of childbirth, with being in labor with a child for 24 hours, damn near an entire day, to think that somebody who has no connection to your child could step in
wow.
and tell you what they think
wow.
is better for your child is without sufficient evidence is, you know, that's scary that someone has that much authority.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt, Tamsin, y'all go ahead. Y'all, it's y'all's fault.
That's so true, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not geared to where, you know, let's help the parents get back the child, you know, get back, you know, the family unit. It's not, you know, it's advertised that way. You know, we're going to help it. You're not going to help, you know what I'm saying? Y'all have a hidden agenda like y'all have with everything else, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, this is what we have to battle because everything is connected, and that's just my opinion. The jail system, CPS, you know what I'm saying, the prison system, all those things are linked together because they want to separate families. You know what I'm saying? They don't want that because they
family do.
Huh. You know, it's more power in the family than just in one individual. And they, you know, you don't see this happen to families out here in Nichols Hills. You know what I'm saying? You don't see that happen to families in Edmond. And you don't think that these things are happening, drug abuse or domestic violence or anything like that is happening in them homes, too?
Neglect.
Like,
neglect is so prominent in wealthy households. Neglect is extremely prominent because generally the parents are so tied up in their career that they're neglectful
mm-hmm.
towards their children. And see, they don't look
wow.
at that the same, you know, a businessman that's make a CEO that's making six figures and his kids are at home by themselves all day.
Wow.
CPS doesn't view that the same as a single mother who might live in not the best area, who's busting
wow.
her ass working all day and her kids
yep.
have to be at home. They view those situations in two different ways, and that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Tamsin, weigh in there. Tamsin, weigh in there. Talk to him.
I mean, I agree with pretty much what you're saying. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, all of you.
What do you want to happen with your situation?
Well, I want both cases dismissed with prejudice, restitution, prosecution for these motherfuckers. They had no warrant. They have no evidence of anything. Even the things
that we do are not illegal. Hold on, before you finish, listen to me carefully. If you think you need to say goddamn motherfucker or whatever, you understand me? I know the emotion.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to hold back me and say, oh, well, Mike Washington let me say that. I'm going to get that sucker when I get
it.
No,
Michael,
I mean, don't do it regularly, though. I'm just saying, hey, let yourself be free here. This is your show. Now, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I want the motherfuckers in prison. Sorry, not sorry.
Okay.
They need to be in prison. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. They belong in prison. I've got all the evidence. I mean, why are they walking around free, and why am I being prosecuted for running toward a closet? There is nothing wrong with running toward a closet. It's all I did. They're falsely claiming I tried to bite them. It's on video. I did nothing. I had two big cuts on me. Yeah.
You got a video?
Yeah, I had even seen it. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you send it to me? Let me look at it.
Yeah, I did. I actually have sent it to you. I mean, I'll send it to you again if you need it. But, yeah, I've sent it to you before.
Yeah, because I got it. No,
yeah.
I'm glad you said that.
Oh,
I thought I needed to see it, and I'll have some ammunition to fight with. That's all I need.
Okay.
Girl.
Yeah,
you,
I sent it to you, but I'll send it to you again.
Showing what?
Them beating me up. I've got video. Oh, I've got video. I mean, I've got not just the sheriff's department. I've got TPD, Tulsa Police Department. I've got them outside with at my home with CPS. This is early on in the day. They were cracking jokes. Slandering me and my children. They're laughing. They claimed that I
it's
was
a joking matter. You taking my kids? It's really a joke, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah, they were there to try to get us to submit to an unwanted, unnecessary medical check. I was exercising my rights. My husband was at the store getting groceries, and I mean dinner. Yeah, and this is like 11:30 in the morning. So TPD and CPS are outside my door, trying to get me to open the door. They're threatening me with false arrest and everything. I mean, all kinds of stuff. They're saying they didn't need a warrant. They're screaming at me. One of them has his hand on his gun. Then I walk away. Yeah, and this is early in the day. Yeah. And then they start immediately making up lies about me and my children. A CPS worker is caught there saying that my children have dark circles around their eyes, which they didn't. The police are accusing me of running toward the bedroom to, quote unquote, flush my drugs down the toilet and saying that I had blue lips. I mean, I was blue in the mouth. But they hid that footage. We had to go on a wild goose chase to get it. This is the TPD body cam footage. We've got it, though. We didn't get it till after our rigged adjudication trial, but we got it.
Okay. Hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. Hold on just a second. You know, my mind gets a racing right here. So are you No, you're fine. So are you basically trying to imply that they were trying to use a cumulative effect of all those things to say why your children shouldn't be with you?
Well, I'm not sure what it was because they didn't like that I said no. I mean, because I was not opening the door for them. This is early on in the day. This is with the Tulsa Police Department. Yeah, they didn't like that I was not opening the door. They really wanted me to open the door, and I said no. And so once I got the kids toward the bedroom, now, and this is not to be confused with later on in the night when the sheriff came, when I went toward the bedroom. Okay, I mean, because of the closets in the bedroom, so I went to the bedroom later that night, too. But this is while they were outside my door. This is TPD. Well, we go toward their – I mean, I take the boys toward the bedroom to go call my husband, let him know what's going on. And so I got TPD on camera and CPS. They're outside joking with each other, laughing at me, making all kinds of jokes, and making up lies about me and my boys. It's all there on video,
now,
and they tried to hide that from us. They didn't think we'd ever get that.
Second, Tamsin, hold on. So would you have a problem with me out here doing your trial, having this blasting on my speakerphone, letting other, in other words, have people come in from that court setting and have us, just before your hearing, have you out there relating everything you say went on, letting them hear them laughing and joking and playing? Would you have a problem with that if we did it?
You mean if you played that?
No, played
video?
Those things you said.
Oh, yeah, that's what I had.
About coming to get your kids and all that.
Well, I was actually trying to get that for the criminal trial, but my criminal attorney said that he was just having a different strategy. I mean, that's not the sheriff's, because the sheriff's video.
I don't know
is,
what you mean, a strategy plan. Let me tell you something. That
I know.
Lady,
well, he had a different strategy.
Some people coming in laughing and playing and taking your kid. Man, what do you mean out of a strategy? Who in the hell is that sucker you got?
You mean
supposed,
my attorney?
I mean, in a professional. Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sounds like you need to get rid of that sucker, whoever that is.
They didn't come professional when they did all that to you. So there is no, I mean, you're exercising your rights. Put their stuff on blast.
Yeah.
Don't let them scare you or try to tell you that you can't do it. That's the freedom of speech. And they want to keep
right.
quiet because hey, that'll bring some heat on whoever your attorney is. If you're trying to stay in good standing with whoever they got connections with. So it looks like you might need to find somebody else who's going to really advocate for you and not have you.
I don't think any of these attorneys are going to advocate for me. I mean, I've had all kinds of attorneys. I even started with a public defender, and, they're all.
So you got a paid attorney doing this to you, too, like this?
Yeah.
Oh, they bought off. Can't you see that sucker's bought off? Let me tell you something. Yeah. If I got something here. In unprofessional manner, joking and playing as if we're just lounging around like we're all open just partying. You showed it to a jury, the jury going to say, well, hold up, man. Who are you? You should use the same people to come to arrest this lady and take her kids? Oh, no, man.
They didn't end up arresting me. They were trying to get in my door, but they did not end up arresting me. They transferred this to the sheriff's department. Yeah. They transferred this off to the sheriff. They knew they lost their qualified immunity, so they transferred it to the sheriff's department. And then the sheriff's department was in some ways worse. I mean, they came in and, like I said, they chased after me and you know, the rest. So that,
did they hurt
of course,
your kids in the process? Yeah, I know you said you crowd them. Did they hurt the baby?
No, they were just over by me, and they were just hurting me, actually. Yeah.
Hey, well,
they traumatized them by beating me up in front of them.
Oh, of course. Now, shit, Jeff, come on. We know that, of course.
Yeah.
My baby wanted to
see
a mama being
hurt,
around
say, yeah.
and hit the elbow.
And then
and
I had, and then even after that, to make it worse, my 3-year-old, my younger son, he was 3 years old at the time. This one, he's not autistic, but he was out in the living room, and he had just seen me get beaten up. I mean, he sat on the floor and watching it beaten up, and then he's out in the living room, and then there's CPS workers there. And one of the CPS workers, this is on the sheriff's video, she asked him, do you want to come with me? And he shook his head no, and he was walking back towards me. And she grabbed him, and she laughed, actually, and she grabbed him.
Oh, man, that's so frightening. That's so scary, that child. Oh, man. This is Bob Always Talk on People Power Radio. We are here tonight, my host with the most. I'm here with Mayotte Yuval, our co-host tonight, again with Nicole Zarate, as well as Thompson. She's here telling about her story as well as other ladies we have still yet on our show or going to be on our panel. As we begin to, y'all, in about the next 10 minutes, we're going to be, as you call, leaving the table and discussion open for round table discussion. And what we do with that is you are able to talk about any and everything that goes on in your family, whatever, just to keep it so we don't get too distracted by one topic. Okay, but we try to hang on with one topic at least 35 to 40 minutes straight. Good, 45 minutes, you know. So, again, that's what we want to do. So, therefore, anybody want to call in, have some questions and answer, we usually have it. This is your time to do it in about 10 minutes. And still right now we want to talk about the CPS, Child Protective Services, stealing kids from their families, selling them to other people. Yes, we're talking about basically sex trafficking in kids who are placed, first of all, in foster care, who later in turn migrate or actually go into adoption, and from there to sex trafficking and to disappearance. Again, there are hundreds of thousands of children each year that never return home, even legally speaking. And this is very frightening and very disruptive. And hopefully we can do something, y'all, to better the situation for a lot of our kids. Mayotte, talk to me about it now. What do we do? I'm going to ask all y'all these questions, then we get off into, after you answer them, then we get off into our round table. But Mayotte, what do you suggest after what you've heard tonight with these families that spoke? If you were a social worker, how would you deal with it?
I mean, if I was in a social worker's shoes, you know, and I had the power to, you know, help in those cases, I mean, I would say present all the evidence, you know what I'm saying? And don't hold back, because that is the one thing that they are banking on. And that's with any case, especially CPS and any criminal case. They're banking on the fact that you won't present certain evidence, which will contradict what they are saying. And that's the thing. Don't withhold any evidence that you have, and that's just my personal opinion about
it.
And if you can gather up as much information that you didn't even think of, you know what I'm saying, and get somebody that is going to actually put their foot down, and that's with any case. If you don't get somebody that's going to actually go the mile with you and take it there with them, they're going to take you on a ride, and they're ready for
it.
But if they're not going to look, this evidence came out. Oh, boy, I didn't think they heard that. Oh, I didn't see that. Well, because the jury don't look at that, like you were saying. Going to look at it and be like, hold on, that don't even match what they're saying, you know?
Bam.
And, you know, that is going to prove your point, because they have presented a false image of actually what happened and what their intentions were. And most of them will catch on. So that's the thing. Go the extra mile if you can find somebody that's going to advocate for, whether it be a paralegal, you know, like Michael was saying, you know, do you mind us, you know, going out there and telling your story? Those things like
yes.
that are going to make big changes in cases, and they watch
yes.
us, whether you think they're watching or not, they watching because they want
oh,
their outcome
yeah.
to come. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you very brilliantly. Of course they're watching. Anytime you have, Samson, anytime you have a group of people, which you suddenly didn't have, suddenly turning out, becoming a part of what's going on, and adopting righteousness in which we felt you being done wrong, first of all, you had an outsider, obviously clandestine, exposing your people, your children, to harm's way. Watch it now. Based upon we think, because the children are small, they're not being fed right. Do y'all know how many children today who even look malnutrition, but they're actually not because they have actually some biological function that keeps them from getting fat? Okay? Everybody's not going to be big. Everybody's not going to be small. I mean, that's just hereditary. And I see you, Tamsin, you got, what, about 5'2 or 5'1 or very light?
Shorter than that, and I'm pretty light, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, the men in my family are small, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Just like with the pygmies' physical appearance. Whatever. What I'm trying to say is, y'all, Nicole, talk to me on that. What do you think about what we said there? I think she may have left. So, Tamsin, go ahead and talk to her until Nicole gets back. Go ahead, Tamsin. So what do you want to happen again? Now, you say you want them to go to jail. So do you think it would be a good thing for us to talk to your attorney as well to let them know, hey, man, we got an eye on you? And we want
yeah,
to say
this. Anybody, yeah, talk to the attorneys, the DA. I mean, this is family court,
okay.
The judges, the DA. This is both family court and criminal court. Okay, the DAs, the judges, ADAs, judges,
okay.
lawyers, and the DA, the head DA, Stephen Kunstweiler, he is, what?
Kunstweiler's a piece of trash. That guy ain't no good.
I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and he's up for re-election, and he knows. I mean, he was, even in 2016, he was the head DA, and he knows that my family has done nothing. And he's up for re-election, like I said. If he wants to make this right, then, well, like I said, he's up for re-election. Need I say more?
Yeah.
But even beyond that, there's a female ADA that called my criminal attorney and said that basically if I was a compliant little bitch with DHS because of trial reunification, then she might drop the charges. She might. And I had done nothing wrong. They didn't have a warrant. They were in my home without a warrant. They grabbed me without a warrant.
Got them.
And
got
so
them.
Why do I have
you
to do them. Anything?
Well, Tampa, let me tell you what they're trying to do. They know themselves open for a lawsuit. So what they're going to try to do is get you to plead guilty. Even if they get you to plead guilty to a suspended sentence, deferred sentence, you can't sue them now because you're saying their actions were exact. You follow what I'm saying? So if I were you,
I've turned down every one of these motherfuckers' deals. I've turned down every one of their deals.
Okay,
I have done nothing wrong.
Oh,
yeah, but they should have dropped the charges. Alex
said
this needs to be dismissed with prejudice.
It
needs to be dismissed with prejudice. But I have done nothing wrong, and they had no warrant. And even if they did have a warrant, it was based on false information.
There you go. And we are going to make sure that lawyer, so maybe you can do it in my inbox. You don't have to put it all on there. You don't have to do all that. Send him his name and him or her name. And we'll let them know that we're expecting this here to come down, and if it don't act right, we'll be that way, and it's not going to be pretty. See, when you have people...
Okay, that's the criminal. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. The criminal, we want to look at that first because they're telling me to lock you up and all that first. You see what I'm saying? That's why I want to get... I'll probably come down for that one myself, but I want to write them before.
I know, but they're bringing
in...
I know. And they're bringing in, like I said, they're bringing in the trial reunification into it. I mean, like if I'm a good girl... You know, or if I'm compliant,
Don't worry about
and, you know,
that.
So,
look,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they trust me, they all know who I am, believe me. I'm not just saying try to be no big, important guy, but I'm saying I've been out there enough. I've traveled to Shawnee, Chickasha, you know, just various cities, towns here in Oklahoma. I mean, everywhere. Because basically when somebody say something, I come. You know, but what I'm saying, they know me, Norman, Chickasha, places like that, Chakota, you know, Cushing, So those people already know I travel, okay? But I do this. When I heard your case, if I didn't think you had something legitimate, we wouldn't be talking about it right now. I've already looked into it. So what I'm saying, everybody says something don't necessarily make it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because I said that and because they did not have a search warrant, you just can't break my door down unless you hear me beating my baby to death or something or another person. Yeah, of course you can do that. But no, not just investigate to see if something's going on. That's not how it works. Just like if I'm caught with so-called drugs in my possession, you just can't kick my door and say, oh, here's the rest of it. You have to have a certified court order.
Well, they had an emergency court order and a writ of assistance that was based on false evidence, a forged sworn affidavit.
It can be good, but if it's on false pretenses, it's no good.
Exactly. Yeah, and they just came in. I mean, they just, yeah, I know. And they didn't have any evidence of anything. And, you know, they just had no right to be in my home. They had no right taking my children. I mean, there was nothing. And even once they were deemed as normal, I mean, healthy at the ER where they took them to, my husband had to put his foot down to go get the ER report, which showed that they were healthy.
Yeah.
And then they covered that up. And even one of the ADAs withheld, the ADA that maliciously prosecuted us in the family court, he withheld the evidence, the ER report, because it was too much in our favor, and it showed that...
You're saying the hospital report showed your kids were healthy?
Yeah, it showed that they were on the chart,
but
they had no dark circles.
Oh, no, we can get that case dismissed. Uh-huh. Oh, no, because once again, watch this one. Mama responded when she knew there was no reason to be in my home. The paperwork shows y'all. Watch it now. Oh, no, no, them lawyers, no, they messed up. I'm handling this. No, no. You saying, now listen to me
carefully.
Yeah, you saying. No, but then nothing. You said, now listen to me, Sheriff. You saying that when the evaluation was done and the medical examiners, not the medical examiner, but the medical doctor said your baby were fine. Right? Am I right? Thompson. Oh, Lord, I must have gotten hooked up. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My phone may have gone. May I go ahead and talk to him? I guess my phone, let me check, see if my phone's up. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
On the phone, isn't it? Yeah.
Might have got disconnected on accident, probably.
Yeah, something, because I was talking to it and it clicked off. But she's still on, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what it is. Go ahead, though, Mia. I'll follow back up after you.
I think she made it back on her. Are you back on?
I'm here. I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I don't know. But Tampa, listen, you saying that the doctor said that your children were fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were healthy on the chart and everything. Yes, yes.
Okay, we got this case because watch this here. My children being fine, so when you came in here, you had no reason to bother me then. You understand?
Yeah, well,
so,
they've been using... Yeah, like I said, they've been using fruit of the poisonous tree because they discovered that our son had a problem that they gave him back in 2016,
and we were not using their
brand of Band-Aid. Brand of Band-Aid.
They used that as an excuse. I'm gonna tear that lawyer's ass up tonight. Oh no, man!
We've had many different family court lawyers since this, and they've all just covered they. We even had a paid one for the trial. We gave her gold. She gave us tin cans. I mean, this was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all in bed together.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. I'm telling you. For that man not to tell
I'm just
you,
reiterating.
Not to reveal your video showing people joking and playing before they coming in your house. Get the hell out of here.
We didn't even get that. Yeah,
oh,
and where they're joking around, we didn't even get that till after the trial. They hid that from us. They used COVID as an excuse. For the surveillance, because we were trying to get the surveillance cameras for that. And they used COVID as an excuse, which is nonsense, because they could have gotten those cameras. But we got them after, they sent us on a wild goose chase after the trial, but we finally got them. And that's what shows them outside our door conspiring against us to get our children. Yeah, because we would not take them to, they just wanted to take them to a medical check. They weren't actually there to get the kids, but.
No. The doctor said the papers were fine. So as a mother,
I know that's once they got me to that unnecessary medical check. Mm-hmm.
I'm protecting my babies. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had it shown that you were deliberately not christened. They showed that baby had a scar on because you hit him wrong or something. Yes, then our suspicions would have been right. No, ma'am, I don't have to let you come in on no special order, nothing. That's right. Even on a special order.
Yeah, when they first came, first came, all they had was a DHS referral. Yeah, they had some men with guns out there threatening me and everything. So that's what it was. Yeah, that a worker called 911. I got the communications report. A worker called 911 to assist, get the police to assist so that they can make sure I opened the door.
Man,
they
I told
me
you
I opened
going
the
going
door.
With
yeah,
because
they even tried 2 months earlier to get. She came by herself. One of the same worker. She came by herself, and we said no. And then nothing for 2 months, and then she comes back with police and some other workers. She's the one that called 911. She's the one that same, later on would grab my son that I told you about. And then she even signed off on the ER report saying that they were fine. And then later on at the trial, she perjured herself under oath, during testimony, and she got away with it.
Well,
this is what we're dealing with.
The door's going to be opening, and Pandora's door is about to open. May I talk to him? What do you think about it now? I mean, what do you think about what you're hearing here?
I'll say.
Nicole, did you make it back? No, go ahead, Mia. I'm telling you. Okay, go ahead, Mia. I've got you in a minute, Nicole. Go ahead, Mia.
For me, it disgusts me because, I mean, I'm seeing and I'm hearing the family being ripped apart, you know what I'm saying, off of false accusations.
Wow.
You know? It's like they come up with every and anything, you know what I'm saying, every little bitty thing. And it don't have to necessarily be true, but they will skew it their liking to get their results. And it's like you put these families in a bind. You toy with these children's minds. You let them see, you know, their mothers and their fathers being abused, being talked to crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All these things just happen. They don't care about the outcome, you know what I'm saying, for the families. They care about the outcome in dollars and how many kids can I take away. You know, I can destroy this family with this, you know what I'm saying, and then bring up the character.
Yeah.
Even if they don't have a record, they will try to find something. And that right there, you know, it disgusts me because I'm all about the family unit, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if you are African.
Yes.
American or white or whatever the case may be, the family structure, they're trying to destroy that on every single level and not only just us, our people, you know what I'm saying? They're doing it across the board. You know, they want their outcome. That makes dollars for them. If they create a problem, it makes dollars. That's the point. If they want, let's create a problem here and make money. How can we make money? Multiple ways. It's a business for them, and it has to be demolished. It has to be destroyed, and we've got to come together and find a way to take this down. You know what I'm saying? Because it's only going to get worse from this point. It started a long time ago, and it's evolving over time. Now we're hearing more about sex trafficking. We're hearing about all those things happening because now everything's coming to light. Now they're all right. We got our plan together. We're going to keep rolling this out. And now it's being exposed. So this is the perfect time, you know what I'm saying, for any family that's going through any CPS problems to bring that stuff to the light while the light is shining on this problem.
Hey, amen. I'll say, all right. Very, very great points. Woo, you knocked them in the nail right on the head. Nicole, go ahead, y'all. Now, again, the round table's open, y'all. We got about 20 minutes here. So, Nicole, if anybody else want to come in with, again, thank y'all, everybody, for showing up tonight, brief off, by the way. And we're glad that we were able to talk about the CPS situation as well as Tamsin and her family, unfortunately, going through the trauma and trials of and tribulations of abusive police and judicial proceedings. But hopefully, like I said, we'll be able to get them some kind of victory and closure in a great way, great and positive way. Hopefully, and we pray to God that happens. But go ahead, Nicole, talk to me now. You got about 3 minutes to do your opening shot, parting shot.
Something that I think we need to focus on with all of these cases, it all seems like they have something in common, and that's the fact that there's not a warrant.
Yeah.
I I don't understand legally how they can obtain the children without a warrant.
But it seems like they use that so often.
I just really think that we need to look into that. I don't understand. Even the police, I can't imagine the police could enforce something without a warrant in place. That just sounds so weird.
Without a warrant. Yeah, you're right, they can't. Nicole, just nobody's arguing it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And the premise is that attorneys are hiding the information and not telling families they can do it. But myself, that's why we hold shows and we do rallies and different talk show forums and things of that nature, because people need to know, no, you cannot just go in and take – that's not how child protective laws protect children, too, just like they do adults. That's why you take kids out of homes and all the laws. So, no, you can't just do that.
What's unfortunate is whenever parents do exercise that right and they refuse to open the door – they take that out on them later on in the process. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, and to find an attorney that wants to battle CPS is also an issue. Most attorneys, it's like everybody's afraid of these people. Nobody's going to step on their toes, not judges, not attorneys. Like,
absolutely.
Nobody wants to speak up about what's going on, and I guess it's because they all work for the same damn,
absolutely.
They're all the same people.
Absolutely. Nicole, we got another Larry Bombardi wants to know, has your children suffered from the time you said it happened years ago regarding your ex-lover, your husband or boyfriend?
Well, I actually had a psychologist actually wrote a report in the short period of time that they were away from my home. And this was a psychologist that they had assigned to me that will pop up and do random pop-ups at my house at any time of night to visit with me and my kids. And she wrote a report, actually, for me to give to the attorney that we had hired. And we didn't ever end up needing the report. But in that report, she stated that the most traumatizing thing that happened to my children throughout the series of events was the fact that they were removed from their mother.
Really now? That's interesting.
Yes.
That's interesting. Wow. And yet they're doing this
and
stuff
she
anyway?
Said when there's domestic violence, she said that's even more traumatizing to remove the kids, because kids oftentimes, although that they don't have any control, kids oftentimes in those situations feel that if they're there, they can keep dad or they can keep whoever from abusing mom. But when you take them out of that situation and then they're gone, not only are you traumatizing them, but you're putting them in fear. They have no idea of what's happening. Where's mom or who dad or whoever is being abused? You know what I'm saying? So I think that if they really wanted to keep the family unit intact and, you know, approach the situation the right way, it would be to shelter or remove, you know, the father or whoever actually from the home without making the mother go through the legal processes or foot the bill financially. There's got to be some sort of funds available for these types of situations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Thompson, what's up now? Tell me. Larry wants to know, y'all get ready, because we always get these calls. They're going to be asking y'all questions. He wants to know, where are your children? I know they see, matter of fact, he wants me to let you know that it's horrible to know that your child has suffered a mental illness based upon them people forcing a shot into him, which I believe. I don't give a damn what nobody says. I believe that. Anyhow, Larry wants to know, other than that, are your children, how are they rebounding back to being with you after you were taken?
Well, the thing is, our older one who is autistic, he is he's happy to be home. So there's that. And our younger one, though, he is 7. He'll be 8 in October.
Okay, precious soul.
And our younger one, okay, and our younger one who is 6, now he has developed an attitude, he's not the sweet boy that he was before they took him.
I can believe it.
They've coached him. Yeah, they've coached him. I mean, the coaching started recently. Oh, no, not him. No, that's a 6-year-old. No, he's just been spoiled a lot by the foster parents. I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, and they started coaching him once it got closer to trial reunification. So he started developing an attitude. I mean, he was sweet. And then he started developing an attitude and started saying things that no mother wants to hear.
Right.
That kind of thing. And so now we're working with him, and sometimes he has his good moments, but, you know, there's other times that he's just kind of out of control at times. We're working with him on that, but, you know, it's not his fault. I mean, it's just, you know, what he's been subjected to.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean,
baby, I know where you're going to blame something on him.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I know it's not his fault. It's just, you know,
it's
so frustrating because he was so sweet before, and then I have to deal with the aftermath. So, I mean,
they don't kind of what they put that child through. You couldn't explain it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were giving him a lot nicer things than we have. I mean, they got more money than us. I mean, the foster parents.
I don't give a damn about no money. Money don't.
I know. Oh, well, I know, but he, you know, but to a, I know, but to a six. Oh, I know, but to a six-year-old, you know, when they have when they're
yeah.
with thing more material
yeah.
things, you know, a bigger house, and you know,
yeah.
you know that is. So, so they got that, and then they start coaching him. He had been saying that he wanted to come home the last 2.5 years, and then as it got closer to trial reunification, the children's
man,
attorney started coaching him. Yeah, we start, after the first overnight visit with us, the attorney goes to talk to him, and no attorney had talked to him before, and then they started coaching, and that's when they started coaching him. I just know it. It's pretty obvious.
Oh, no, you a mother's instinct, you can't fool mama. I don't care who you are.
Uh-huh.
Well, mama going to know if a son is sleeping too much longer or not eating right. Mama sees it because that instinct rolls in. It kicks in, bam. I know that because when I was hurt, my stomach... Mama said, boy, what's wrong with you? No, you ain't, y'all act yourself tonight. No, mama, that's unfair. No, no, Michael, no, boy, knowing you much, you be running in. I have to catch you off, get you off the roof and out of trees and stuff, boy. I know. And she said, no, hold up, boy, something wrong here. So,
yeah.
You know, like I said, mama going to know that, man. Who laughing at? Who got laughing at me, man? Who got laughing at me, Samson?
Michael,
I can't get to y'all. Oh, that's all right. I'll catch y'all one anytime, though. No.
We need to get these shirts together, Michael, so that we can show up to these court dates for people and they know who we are.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, what, Nicole, I'm glad you mentioned that. Then we're going to get Mae out in here. Well, what are they charging to do the shirts and all that? Because we're definitely right. I mean, at least when they see that, then we have our phone number printed.
Okay. Let me tell
so
let me ask.
How much how many do you think we need at first to start off with?
I don't know, because we were talking about doing a fundraiser and selling them. So,
yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. How much you think we might need to get, I'm trying
we
to...
We started
yeah,
with Chubb shirts.
Well, this is confused, but, oh, man.
And then we sold 50, and then we got another... We sold about 250 shirts for Shed. So, quite a few, but, I mean, to start, maybe 50... You know,
that's what I'm trying to ask
and
you.
Then
you know how to do it. Okay.
Yeah,
Nicole, trust me.
And then you get
everybody
your
knows
and then you
call this. They're going to want one. Trust me.
Okay.
They're going to want
one.
Yeah,
we need to get some. And we need to get something. It needs to be, we need to choose a design that stands out. I don't want them to not know. I want them to know exactly who we are whenever we walk in.
Yeah. Okay, no. Yeah, I say, hey, well, listen, Nicole, we'll have all kind of, matter of fact, we may be able to find a manufacturer because once they see that, man, they're going to want, I know they are because they know we are the group, not saying anybody else don't, but they know with us, man, we got radio shows, we got Facebook pages, we got Instagram pages and things, and we, especially with Oklahoma Coalition, right now, everybody can come in and share their feelings, their desires, their problems and trouble with us. And look what happens. We don't just kick you to the curb.
And we mean business.
We can't solve every problem, but we're going to do our best. You know?
So, and we mean business.
Yeah. And we mean business. All right, that show don't got to be on that damn shirt for real. You know what? They say, no, they fake. I don't see that. We mean business on that. No, that ain't them.
Hey, Mr. Washington. A friend of mine, she sent me a picture of you from downtown today. You were downtown at some point. She sent me a picture. She said, I see Mr. Washington downtown talking to somebody. I said, how did you know it was him? She said, he's got on his hat.
That hat kept me away all the time. Hey, man, hold up, man. I'm throwing that hat away, man. I got. I'm trying to see what was I doing down there. They ain't gonna tell me what I was doing. I was arguing with somebody. I know that. I don't know who it was. But, you know, but no, y'all, for real. No, seriously, man. And what I want to do, y'all, Nicole, and put this on your calendar, because this is, we're coming up to our anniversary, 11-year mark that we've been in the Oklahoma Coalition, a nonprofit here in Oklahoma City. So we want to do something probably in January as a just a group gathering type thing. You know, and usually what we have to hundreds to come to that, especially because they've come all over. Oh, and that'd be a good time too. I'm telling you, Nicole. So, how much is 50 shirts going to cost us to start off with? We need to find that out as well, because, like I said, we need to try to make a little something.
If you go up in quantity, they usually go down in price. The more you buy, the less you pay.
I'm asking you, I don't know.
I'm going to talk to the lady and see what she says, but if we're going to plan something in January, we can do like a fundraising event, and you know I'm always down to cook. I'll be chefing.
Yeah, I know. Don't start with the chicken stuff. Look at it, Nicole. You did that on purpose, now. I haven't eaten yet. Now I'm going to go outside the car, go to Brosa's Chicken or somebody to get me something to eat, man. Whoa, y'all give me a headache. But seriously, speaking of Nicole, yeah, we got to do that because I'm telling y'all, man, listen, y'all, we mean business. We're affected with this county jail. I mean, we're affected with, as you say, court things, as y'all see. We try to go down to people's hearings if we can. I mean, we're not just saying it, man. We're being about this, y'all. But at the same time, y'all, it costs money to do these things. So we're going to have to try to pull something in to kind of help everybody out. You know, I mean, if it's $5 or $6, y'all, that helps us, man. I mean, come on with us, y'all. You know, it's no question, man, because guess what? What you give, you're going to get back in tenfold, because we know you're giving from the heart. And we're going to do nothing to give from the heart ourselves. And our, you know, so let's keep that in all. Yeah, but check that out, Nicole, on the T-shirts. It's about, like I say, start out with 50, like you say, because they're going to be supply and demand. That 50 going to be gone. Shh. Nicole's man. After we had that event, oh, man, come on, really? Because people, you know that sign I gave y'all showing Oklahoma to put on their car or whatever? Man, I got people asking for those. I got to give the lady that makes those from in New Jersey, those signs that you put on your car, Oklahoma Coalition, you know. I'll let you be last, man, because you and I get ready to close out. I see 513. If y'all don't, I don't want to give you a whole number out. If you're 513, you can speak if you want to. Now, you don't have to, but, you know, if you want, I mean, you can continue listening. We still got about, 13 minutes. So if you don't want to speak, you can, but you can. But we're talking about CPS. But at the same time now, you can basically talk about what you want because we're in our roundtable discussion. So if you want to, go
ahead. I'd like to say that the real abuse, I have to heavily emphasize this, the real abuse, I mean, we're talking a lot about DHS, but the real abuse occurs actually in the courts, especially the family court. They don't give you, there's no jury trial. I mean, not with the adjudication anyway, no jury trial. We didn't get a jury trial. We didn't get a fair and impartial trial. They perjure themselves. I mean, they issue void court orders. They changed our sworn testimony on a final judgment. And every time I bring up the transcripts, they withhold the transcripts and they say, well, just pay for it. Go to the court reporter and pay for it. We don't have money.
Nicole,
that's why we're targeted. We have a right to those transfers, especially when fraud has been committed.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why with groups like ours, when we start writing, have letter and campaign writing, when you have email and letter campaigns, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you mess with one of ours, you mess with all ours. You know what I'm saying? So right now you don't have the support because it's just we're just not really gravitating toward each other. But my thing is with all the stuff we're talking about doing, Tamsin, is that the more and more of us, we don't just want people to come and say, okay, I'm a part of Oklahoma Coalition. No, man. We want everybody to do what they can to actually make changes, change your world, and your world will change around you. Because if you don't take the steps necessary to watch one another's back, that's not a friend. That's just somebody, I'm on here because somebody else doing it. Oh, well, let me get mine and get out the way. No. You have to show up to events political campaigns or whatever. You understand me? Because that person would be obligated, watch this one, to give back to you because you've shown them support. Bottom line. You know, so 513, if you want to say anything, I'm going to ask you again. I think we had somebody came in before you. All right, you can continue to listen in. No problem. Come on now, Mayor. Talk to me. What's going on? You've been kind of silent and patient. What's going on with you? This is my co-host, Mayor Yaboy, right here in Oklahoma City, People Power Radio. I'm your host with the most, Brother Baba, with Top of Father of Many Nations. We are here now talking about CPS. Stop stealing our kids from our families and selling them to other people. This is called sex trafficking and self-destruction of families and communities. Go ahead, Nicole. Talk to me. Talk to me.
I'll say we just have to, you know, really stay on top of them. That's the best way that we can defeat, you know, this not hidden enemy anymore. This openly, you know, wanting to do what they're going to do enemy. You know, we have to play them at their own game. We're gonna have to take them down case by case. Unfortunately, this is gonna take some time for us to fully straighten this out, but if we stay on them, they're going to start reconsidering, you know, their avenues. You know what I'm saying? Their avenues for taking, you know, our kids and separating our homes. They're going to rethink these things, and they're going to try to revise the plan. But, you know, we're going to come at any angle, you know what I'm saying, that again, in order to secure the families again, you know. And I just encourage everybody to not give up when it comes to that, you know, and collect everything that you can, every piece of evidence that you have against them to make them, you know, to make the jury and to make everyone see them for what they are and not what they're perceiving themselves to be as, you know, as far as, oh, we're going to put the family unit back together. That's what we're all about. That's a bunch of crap, you know, and we have to expose them at every angle. You know, we may not have, you know, in some cases, we may not have all the evidence we need. So that's where we need to voice this stuff out. You know what I'm saying? The injustice, how people support you. Get more families that are dealing with those same issues and dealing with those same CPS workers. You know what I'm saying? That's going to also help as well. So just doing our due diligence and staying on top of them and not letting things sweep up underneath the rug, because, like I said, Oklahoma is real good at that, by trying to make stuff disappear. Stuff not seem as worse as it, you know, as it truly is, to continue to keep up with this mayhem and chaos. But it's going to come to a point where they can't hide it no more, just like the jail system. They can't hide that anymore. They've been doing it for a while.
Oh, they have.
And now the world is seeing, you know what I'm saying, for what they are. So doing that at every angle, no matter if it's CPS or the jail system, you know, or any other system that's working against putting the family together or separating children or separating the men from the homes or incarcerating our men to where they can't come back, you know, to their families. So just know that all these angles is to destroy the family in general, you know, and we see it more on our side. I wouldn't say more, but you see it more. I would say that you see it more on the side of Black families, and you see it in
poverty.
All these time has been this way for years, and most of us are just coming into that knowledge of what these systems are, you know, but the ones that know, they know this, you know, we know it's been going on for a while, and it's time to expose them. I feel like, you know, these couple of these last 5 to 6 years have been a wake-up call for society to see the injustice that's really going on and not to just look on the surface level on what they tell you on the news, because they're lying to you.
Yeah.
So just exposing and putting it out, you know.
Yeah. No, hey, man, you didn't hesitate. You said they're lying to you. It came right in sync, too. Don't let me believe that, because they're lying to you. Like, you just know. You were confident. I like the way you put that. I mean, the way it came in sync. You know what I mean? It's just not just saying something. I mean, I felt it when you said it.
Yeah.
That's very true. I like that, man. Yeah, this is Baba Wetaba right here in Oklahoma City. We got about 5 minutes. It's your host with the most. I'm at, you may yet your boy is my co-host. And you have Baba Wetaba right here in Oklahoma City. Again, this is a radio station where your opinion, your ideas, and thoughts count. There are no right or wrong. There are no you're less than me, I'm better than you. None of those things goes on. Here is where you get your ideas, your thoughts, and your opinions together. I may not like them all, but who am I to control your idea and your concept? Watch this, because you may see something different than I do. Why? Because of your personal experience dealing with it. So that's why I said on this show, maybe you can help enlighten me to accept your particular way of seeing things. We want that to happen here, man. We're not just here to talk just to be talking to look good. Okay, we can do that every day in our street. I mean, every day to go to the store or go downtown or whatever. No, we want to make a change in your lives, change your world, and your world will change around you. Again, y'all, we have 5 minutes, and as y'all know what I like to do before getting off the air, I want y'all to tell somebody you love them tonight, because, again, tomorrow's not promised to you. I mean, something could happen to me tonight. That's why I always call somebody up and say, and matter of fact, I'm saying my love and respect to all of you speaking right now. So I've even done mine before tomorrow comes. So I'm saying to y'all, man, do that. Call mama, your friend, elderly, guardian down the street or whatever, man. I mean, let everybody know. This coming Saturday, y'all, public service announcement tonight, this coming Saturday, our next show is going to be, we're going to be with Bridging the Gap. And Bridging the Gap is going to be talked about. Again, I'm giving them the show where I'm just going to be a co-host. Actually, me and I, we're still going to do our thing, but we're going to let them do the most majority of the talking to people. And we're going to let them, as a way of, you know, getting their comments and their, you know, status of what they're doing, to get it out there in a more profound way. So we're going to let their voice be heard more. But they're going to talk about how Oklahoma is so far behind in education. I think we're number 49, I believe they said. I haven't researched it. I can agree with that, because if you look at the school situation here, oh, man, it's just really terrible. So being 49, I'm not surprised. Again, y'all, that's this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock, and everybody who wants to join in, please do. We know that a lot of you are going to join in anyway, because, again, this is your radio station, and I think you see and realize that I'm not just talking. So, again, if y'all have a show that you want to do, and that is area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. If you even have a question, may I tell them how I can reach you right quick?
I'll say you can reach me at Fred Hampton Gun Club OKC on Facebook. My personal Facebook is Mayad Yeabo, spelled M-A-A-T. Last name is Y-E-B-O-A-H. You can send me a message. I can send you information about the gun club or any questions that you have.
Yeah.
Also recruiting across all 50 states. We have chapters across, you know, the East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. So if you want to get plugged in and you want to get in to serving the community when it comes to our people and also engaging and interacting with your community and bringing organizations like I do here, like Michael Warhol, all these different peoples, and creating that in your own area, in your own state, for equality for your people and impoverished people around you. You know, get plugged in, because we can get you on that track. I also have a also now the Oklahoma chapter has one on Instagram. It should be the official, should say official Fred Hampton Gun Club or FHGC. Oklahoma on Instagram. You can also link on there and send a message. Any way you can get in contact with Michael or Nicole, we're at your disposal. We're here.
Oh, yeah, we all know where to get. We all got hookups. Yes.
So just tap in with me or any of anybody that's connected to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mayat. Yeah, boy. I'm right here in Oklahoma City. We got 60 seconds, y'all, so I got to get ready to get up out of here. But as my friend, a good friend of mine that I provide care for, always tells me to do before we get off the air, I want to say this prayer that she gave me to give to everyone. May God bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Good night, everybody. That even means our backroom co-hosts, because they're getting ready to cut me off, unlike the other nights, because we had a little technical difficulty, but... Again, man, great love to all of y'all. Hey, man, if we can do something, please call us up. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and my little hat is downtown, like Nicole said a while ago. I got to find out who that was looking at me, too. I want to know who that was. No. Yeah. Hey, y'all be blessed, everybody. We got about 30 seconds. So is there anything anybody want to say? Y'all be blessed. Y'all stay good. Let God guide you. And, hey, man, love your family. Good night, everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is your show. Hey, see you next time, Saturday, 8 o'clock. Peace.
Hey.
I'll show you. You got about 5 seconds. Y'all getting ready to cut us off. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, everybody. Stay blessed, man. And, hey, Facebook time. Have a